What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Skill Riders Podcast. This is episode 102 with your host, 65 Lokes, and my guest, George Vision 124, all the way from the East Coast, New Jersey. Yeah, hope you guys enjoy this episode. Shout out to everybody who's been supporting Skill Riders since day one. December 22nd is the 2-year anniversary birthday of Skill Riders. Let's keep it moving. You guys keep producing, keep creating, and we'll keep things going. You know, I'm going to do my best to provide as much content as I can in the near future. Also to motivate you guys, I'm going to keep pushing the message, you know, making this fun, because we got so much going on in our lives already that whatever free time that we have to, you know, have fun with whatever we want to do. So, for those of you guys that are going to be traveling during this holiday season as well, please be safe. Get to your destination, chill out with your family, enjoy the times, take pictures, photos, everything, you know, enjoy the moment, embrace it, because every year we only get to do that once and it never comes back again. We have to wait another year till that happens. Start making your plans, guys, for 2020. Start marking your calendars. Start requesting those days off of work as far as to like what car model events you're planning to plan and all that stuff. You know, if you need a downsize, sell some kits so you can upgrade on the tools or get the kits you really want. Hey, do whatever you got to do. You know, it's all good. But thank you guys for supporting and listening to the podcast. Please share and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check us out on Instagram as well. And shout out to all my Patreon supporters as well. Peace out, take care, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, what's up, George? How you doing?
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Just lounging out at the moment.
Right on, right on. Same here, man. I just finished the build that I was working on. So, you know, I have a mess in my bench. So I'm little by little cleaning it up and putting everything back to where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, right on. Was today one of your days off from work?
Yeah, I actually was off today, and I was actually supposed to work yesterday, but I called out because one of my kids was sick. Mm-hmm. So I just decided to stay home and take care of them. And, you know, I got lucky that I was able to do that. And you know, so I was able to get some bench time while I was off yesterday. So it was productive as well on the bench. So it worked out. So.
That's cool. Yeah, I saw some of the photos on Twitter.
With
your Moon Eyes build.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Nissan R35 Liberty Walk, and I went with the Moon Eyes livery because I felt it was something cool, and just listening to the guys, you guys, the masterpieces that you guys were going to the Moon Eyes show and all that, it kind of inspired me to kind of just like, oh man, let me look into that. And then I just kept seeing the logo and everything. I said, you know what, let me see if I can do some kind of a build that involves, you know, the Moon Eyes logo. And I picked this kit and just finished, and it was a lot of fun.
That's cool. Like the decals, did you have to get those aftermarket somewhere, or did they come with the kit?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there was a aftermarket company called SK Decals. They do random race cars and whatnot, and they did a Moon Eyes livery one for a couple of years ago. Tamiya had a little box truck that had like. It was like a delivery truck, and that it had the Tamiya logos. So they made the decal sheet for that truck to make it a Moon Knight's little delivery truck. So I know that was available in the market, and I had ordered it, but it took so long to get. I waited like 2 months and never came, and I ended up following up on it, and they ended up sending me another one, but it took forever. But I found other sources, and I found another on Instagram. I found a guy who prints out decals on his laser jet for Hot Wheels, and he also offered for different scales. So I saw that he had a Moon Eyes one, and I went and ordered it, and I got it in, and everything, all the decals look good as far as that I could put on a model, and I just went for it, and it all worked out.
Yeah, that's tight. Yeah, I like how you had your Vision 124 decal on the top of the window, on the front window.
Yeah, Yeah, I got those done a while back from Brian 124 Stance Build. I told him that, you know, I need something that that certain builds I can put my banner, my logo in it or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it worked out. I've used one on a couple of builds, and it's kind of like a little signature or something, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty tight. I like to see it on there, because I could see that being on a 101 scale car.
So you know, I just think things through before when I do my builds, and just the thought process. I change my mind during the build, but for the most part, I have a vision, and I you know, will go for that goal and go for it, and luckily on this build, everything what I imagined in my head, it just came out even better. So I'm pretty happy.
That's cool. On my previous podcast, I had mentioned about like drawing and doing rendering prior mm-hmm. to making your build. Do you ever do that with your models? Do you ever like draw them out?
Not with models. Sketch? I mean, when I was young, I used to draw cars a lot before even at their models and whatnot. But nowadays, it's just in my head, man. I just, cause it's easier now to just, instead of drawing, I'm just creating what's in my mind, with the model, you know, and, with the possibilities of anything that we can, make that's not available, anything's possible that you come up with in your mind. And, it's like instead of drawing that, I just build it, you know, whatever's mm-hmm. in my mind.
So, that's tight.
Yeah.
Man, you've been busy, dude, this whole year. I mean,
from the
beginning.
It was a busy year. Busy year. I traveled a lot. I tell you, it was very rewarding as well. I gotta say that I was very in tune this year to I met my goals and then some, and you know, I got to, main thing was I got to meet a lot of people face to face, you know, just traveling, mm-hmm. and as far as modelers are going to different, you know, Cali twice, you know, on first trip to NNL West in January. And I can't believe it's coming around the corner again. That year goes so fast, right?
Yeah, it's just looking back at it, I still remember you coming out and, you know, participating in the events out here, and also even taking in some awards too. Remember we were at the Roadster Show?
You got some awards there. Right. I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. It's just like, wow, you know, I mean. Like, my mind is never like, let me compete, let me try to, like, you know, I just want to put the model on the table, and then I do want to participate, make sure that I do everything that's asked for me to, you know, sign up the models, register them, and all that. And, but, you know, it's never my intent to try to, you know, compete. If it happens, it happens. It to me, it's like, it's a blessing if I win, because, you know, a lot of times, man, there's so many models on the table that I just get blown away. And sometimes, you know, by getting voted to beat some of these bills and everything, it's very humbling, man. Very humbling. And if rewarding at the end, of the day, I appreciate the awards. But you know, the main thing is just it's just having fun, man. Going to meet the guys to talk to other builders, get ideas, and get inspired by others' builds. And that's the main thing for me, man. But yeah, no, it's been this year's been very rewarding, man. I've been getting a lot of awards, and it's at the end of the day, I do appreciate it, and I come home and it's like sometimes I'd be like, wow, I can't believe that, you know?
Yeah, and then not only the awards too, but also the magazine features as well.
Right, yeah, man. That too. You know, that's always, you know, when I was young and the first time I went to NNU East over here, you know, like I started seeing, you know, I didn't bring models, I just went to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started seeing how, you know, the magazines were available to, and then models that I remember on the table being on the magazine, and it was always been a goal, like, you know, that's always a goal. Like, even if you're not even building models, like, let's say you're into the card game, real one-on-one card game, I mean, your goal has always been to be in a magazine, whether you're in Lowrider magazine or Import Tuner magazine, or, you know, and it's always very, very rewarding when all that hard work that you do gets recognized in print.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It is true, because mm-hmm. it's like you're proud of your car and you want as many people to see it, but at the same time, that can lead to inspiring others.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, man. You know, and that's why when I see other builders, other builds on the table, I try my best to save it, you know, take a picture and save it, or if I find it online, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, and I find a cool build, I mean, that's going to spark somebody to buy a model. That's going to spark somebody to get back on the bench, or you know, or try it out, or just say, oh, man, I saw this build. I want to do mine like this. Like, I always feel like if I can inspire people, whether it's my build or just somebody's build, by putting it up, sharing it, I mean, I'm helping. I feel like we all helping the hobby by doing that, you know, letting the network of modelers see what's out there and inspire them. And if we keep doing that, we shouldn't be worrying about the hobby being extinct, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be here for a long time.
No, yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, I mean, a lot of the times, you know, you could get, like, tired or burned out or not feeling it at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you go to a model show just to check it out and to chop it up with some people, you'll leave out of there like super inspired, like wanting to go home and work on your model and just be pumped about, you know what, I'm going to wrap this one up for the next show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why before, like when we were I was on your show before, I did mention that, like, you know, especially our youth, like, you know, bring your kids or bring your nephew or niece to a model car show and let them get it inspired, you know, to do something creative and have a craft, you know. That's gonna help them in life, because I tell you, just like you mentioned, I mean, model cars has helped you in other ways. It helps you be more organized at times, and with deadlines, it keeps you a little bit, you know, it helps you make better decisions. It definitely helped me, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely see it, you know?
No, yeah, it's even as of late for me at work, it I've been applying a lot of the things that I've learned from model building to certain jobs that we get with my dad. And sometimes he'll be telling me like, oh yeah, we need to cut this or we need to do this and that. And he knows it can be done. It's just he's trying to find like what method would be the best effective to get it done quicker and to it so it looks good also. And then that's where he lets me like chime in too, and then I'll come up with some stuff. But I it's like now it's like it just, I just come up with it faster, and I think back and I go, man, the like if I would have been put in that position a while back, before model building, when I got back into it, it would have probably been harder for me
Oh
to
yeah.
come
I
up
mean,
with solutions.
I absolutely to come up with different ways. That's where you're building models keep you creative and keep your brain working and you come up with clever ways. I mean, there's always I always learn methods from different modelers, just talking to them how they hey how to do this or just a YouTube video and you'd be like wow that makes sense like why was I doing this like why was I polishing on the car this way when you can do it this way a lot better and even goes for you like I remember not too long ago you were building 62 Impala and then you cut it a certain way and then you just decided to scrap it and then find a different way, get another body and cut it a different way that worked out better the second time. I mean, I remember you talking about that and I was like, you know what? I mean, that you always find different ways. You always find a different way to be creative. And I think the modeling definitely if you're on the bench and you're working and you scratch building and doing custom stuff. That definitely helps, man. It definitely helps.
No, yeah, it's crazy because even now, lately I've been messing around with this Gundam figure, and I'm like scribing in these lines and making it look very symmetrical, because that's what I see from the guys in that scene that are what they're doing. So at first I was like just blown away and being like, man, I don't know if that's possible, but then once you start gathering those tools and start looking into it, next thing you know, I'm like, all right, it's getting there somewhat. I'm feeling a little confident now that I'm picking up on some of that stuff. But at the same time, from doing this now, it's leading me into drafting tools now, like the compasses and all these other things that people use. And now lately, I've been looking at videos of people like just sketching like architectural stuff, and now I'm thinking like, all right, I think if I get these dividers and compasses later, I'll be able to apply these for laying down like pattern, like tape patterns and stuff like
Oh
that.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you can find definitely find different ways to do things in other different genres of building, whether it's Gundams or even trains, dioramas, and all kinds of model building. You can pick up some tricks that'll work all across the board at any kind of build that you do. I definitely agree on that. You can definitely pick up and apply that stuff to different stuff. And using a tool, you watch somebody using a new tool that you never use, and then you see how that tool made that job very easy. And then if you know that you're gonna be doing that kind of work, maybe it's definitely better to invest in that tool if you know you're gonna use it a lot. Like, I don't mind spending money on tools. Like me, I'm gonna spend money on tools that I know I'm gonna use, not just because it's a cool tool. Like I'm not gonna stop buying like a better hobby knife, a better snips, a better glue, a better, you know, stuff that you are constantly using. Yes, if I find a better one, I'm going to try it because I'm going to constantly be using that tool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a better tool will make your hobby building easier, fun, faster, you know, and more clean. And you know, that's part of the fun.
Yeah, I remember a while back you had recommended to me a file
for
filing. Yeah. I've been using that too lately, and I ended up.
How's it worked out for you?
I like it. It works great. I like the size of it. So when you're holding it, you know, it just runs across like your palm, and then you still have the rest of the piece. Like it's still big enough. So because it's so funny, back in the day when I would use the files, I was just going back and forth, like if it was like a sanding stick.
Right.
and then when I started to see videos of people filing, I started seeing they're just going in one direction and then they go up, go back, start over, and then it's just one direction all the time as opposed to back and forth. So I was like, oh man, I've been doing this thing wrong the whole time.
The whole time. That's true. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, man. I pay attention to those details when people, how they use their tool, and I said, oh, okay. And I tried, you know, and I apply it, you know, and that's true, man. You know, these tools don't come with instructions, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the tool comes with what to, you know, what the size is and whatnot, but there's no instruction sheet to a file telling us, you know, oh, just file one way, one direction, you know?
Yeah.
So you kind of got to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. And I ended up picking up, so they make the 10, like a 10 millimeter, and then a 6. So first I got one, and then I ended up like liking it so much, I was like, oh, I got to get the other size too. So.
Yeah. I noticed they have, I have the 10 millimeter, and then I want to get the half round one too, because I mean, I have round files, but they're either too small or too big. So I know that Tamiya, they think about everything. It's like you said, the way you hold it in your hand and everything, that they make it where the tool is comfortable and everything. So I want to invest in getting the half round one too. Because I know I'm
going to
use it, you know?
Yeah, at first, I wasn't really even aware that they had the half round. I would only see the flat ones advertised.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once I started looking for that other millimeter size, I started to dig and see, oh, man, they got, like, more.
A different line. Yeah. You know, it's funny because you don't realize what's there. Like, I noticed... what I started doing is, like, let's say if I go with these tools that are made from just like the ones that you mentioned before, from, you know, the different sandy sticks that are more like were made for, you know, because of the Gundam network of people, builders, you know. That's all like overseas stuff, not stuff in the U.S. So, like I started noticing, like, you know what, instead of let me just like Googling or going to the site looking for that specific file, let me just put in the name of the company that makes it. Then I'll see what else they have, you know, because if one tool is good, that means that they've done their homework and the other tools should be good as well. That's how I found the Tamiya. Like, there's a site that I go to. It's called Plaza Japan, and they sell a lot of Japanese kits, and even some Gundams and some planes. Mostly like Tamiya and Aoshima kits and all those kind of kits. But then they also have a section what is tools, and then they have like you can just choose by the manufacturer or what kind of tool. So like I'll go into God Hand, and instead of going to God Hand snips or whatever, I'll just type in God Hand, and then I'll just look at everything they have, my Tamiya tool, look at everything they have, and that's how I found that file, you know.
Yeah.
Because you don't normally see people, you know, people don't know about that, that they need that too, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then the,
but as the specific sites will have all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, and then the prices too, they're pretty good.
Oh yeah, especially when you order overseas. I mean, yeah, it might take a little longer to get, but you get them at a cheap price. And then I try to take advantage of don't get one thing. Like if I need one, like if I'm gonna need that, let's just say that round file that we talked about. I said, well, you know what? Let me get a couple of things. That way, you know, all the shipping is you know, if you're paying the shipping for one thing, you might as well get three things and let that shipping be worth it, you know?
Yeah, just like divided by the items that you got, and you'll
right.
know, like,
and it saves you rather than buying one at a time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's definitely, you get more for your buck. I definitely try to do that all the time, you know. Try to, like, all right, well, I'm here. Let me just see how much do I need to meal tape. Let me, you know, just because I know the prices are going to be cheaper and I know it's going to take longer. But if I don't need it right away, I can order it and it gets here when it gets here. But at least, you know, I take advantage of the shipping to be cheaper if I get more stuff. You know?
Yeah. Well, one time I was on this site called Hobby Search.
Right. And, that's another one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's also based out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a bunch of stuff that they stock that I was like, oh man, like
that you never seen over here, even on
yeah,
eBay.
Dude, there and on other sites too. And I was like, whoa, like they got a lot of stuff I want. So,
mm-hmm.
I made an account, I made a wish list, and then from that wish list, I was just like, I'll get, you know, let's say like five things or whatever, like not the whole thing, but just whatever, because I put so much stuff on that wish list. And then when it came down to shipping, they do offer like the lower, they offer you like three or four different like shipping options.
Okay.
And like the most economical one, which was like maybe like $5-6 shipping, but it was they would estimate anywhere from like 2 weeks, maybe a month or 2 months at the latest if something would happen. Or they have their express, which they call, or I think it's categorized as the EMS shipping.
Okay, yeah.
And and I was like looking that up, and for the stuff that I was getting based, I guess, on the size or the weight or whatever, it estimated it at like $18 for.
Okay, but you got a lot of stuff for that 18.
Yeah, so yeah, like... yeah. So I was like, you know what? I was thinking about it and I was going like, you know what? I can either pay the cheap shipping and it's going to take a long time to get, or whatever, and I know I'm gonna be thinking about it because I already want to use it,
right?
Or do I just pay the 18 because the stuff is already cheap,
right? So, exactly. Yep.
So I'm like, so I pay the 18, and because I know that, let's say, from here from my house, if I would drive to a hobby store, I'm probably gonna be spending $10-15 on gas. Who knows? You know, on the distance right. there back or whatever, or if I stop somewhere to eat, it all factors in. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to go for it and order it. I also want to see how the service is, how fast they are. And
right. Absolutely.
Dude, I placed the order on a Tuesday and I got it with the next Tuesday within a week.
Yeah. That's crazy. Right.
Yeah.
I've even ordered stuff from like, that's another, company called Scale Production, and they kind of have a lot of stuff for like Porsches and European cars and stuff. But they have wheels and tires and a lot of great stuff. And, dude, I've ordered from them before where it took about a month, and I also ordered from them the same kind of shipping and I got it within a week, and that's from the UK. Like, it's crazy. Like, and sometimes you order something from the same state, you wait 3 weeks for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a hit or miss, you know, when it comes to shipping.
Yeah. And when I made that order, I would check back. I checked back like the next day and it was saying like that they're prepping it for shipping. And then I checked back again later in the, like at night when I got home.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was already like shipped out of their, like their business or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I tracked it, you know, like a few days later, then 4 days as we're getting closer to the week, type things. Well, I mean, I wasn't even sure if I was going to get in a week, but just as the following days would go, I would check. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's already in LAX, like in LA. It's being checked by customs and all this stuff. And I just kept thinking, like, oh, man, what if they check in? They're like, what the heck's this? A bunch of metal? Let's send it back. You know?
Right.
But no, it arrived cool. And it's crazy because from there, then they hand it off to the USPS. And then they bring it over they brought it into the store because they need my signature on it.
Oh, okay, right. Just to make sure.
So mm-hmm. I was going like, man, how convenient. And get it right in my hands.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Yeah. You know, like I've gotten to the point where my mailman, if something needs to be signed, I told him one time, hey, man, if something needs to be signed, man, just do it. Leave it there. Like, you know, like he's so cool with me that he does it. So for the most part, you know, not always, it doesn't happen often, but the one or two packages that I have to sign or have somebody sign for it, he hooks me up. The guy will do it because, you know, it got to a point where once or twice I didn't get the little notice or that came and needed that I had to go to a post office. Then you have to go to a post office and then they have to look for your package in the post office. It's just if it comes with my specific mailman that's here most of the time, he hooks me up and he'll make sure that it's signed for.
Yeah, that's tight. Because most of the time you're out working or you're busy doing mm-hmm. something, probably around the yep. time they cruise through.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I have to kind of slow down on buying. Yeah. I just have so many kits and it's just like a deal comes up and I say, all right, I'm going to order them. And then it's like, come on, man, when am I really going to have time to do that other project? You know, I got this year, there's like two or three kits that I have in mind that are like new kits that I want to get, but I got to stick with what I have. I have projects lined up that I want to get done, and or finish. You know, I have goals this year that I have to meet, and you know, and some of it has to do with just the managing my time, you know, mm-hmm. as well. You know, it's like you talked about balancing everything, you know.
Yeah.
I have to do some of that as well, with life and the modeling, you know. I have to kind of balance it and do things a little bit better this year than last year. I mean, yeah. Even though last year was rewarding and all that stuff, and I did a lot, I can't expect to do that every year, you know, because then my other stuff gets pushed behind. You know?
It's like your year, like when you look back at 2019 for all the stuff you've done, it's like you raised the bar pretty high for yourself.
Yeah, I did. I do.
That's tight though. But I think out of all of it though, like going back is like one of the cool and important goals is you got to meet a lot of people in person.
And that's always been my number one thing. You know, like I went to Cali twice, first to NNL, was meeting you and Armando and the rest of the guys the first time, and then the second time meeting up with Willie, and then we ended up going to the Lowballers. I got to meet those guys face to face. It was great time, and just everybody else that attended the shows, and you know, the camaraderie is always great. Those are cool guys, friendships that like now you can say, oh man, I met him in real life. Like, you know, even though he's in the other side of the country, I can say now we're not just associates by internet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool. It's definitely, that's always been my most favorite part.
Yeah,
to meet people face to face.
Yeah, it's always nice when you meet someone and just like you remember your interactions with them that day at the show and, you know, talking to them or checking out their work. And I mean, we're all still connected online, or if we have our phone number, you know, through text or a phone call away. But I know that, you know, everybody's busy doing their thing. And for some people, it's like they will work on their cars and they get them ready for the shows to go. But they don't go to every show. They only go to certain shows that they can go to. But what's cool is that they're at least active online, you know, keeping up with everybody, seeing what everybody's doing. And even though you, let's say, you know, you don't talk to them on the phone, no text messages, and the interactions are only, let's say, just likes, right? But you've already chopped it up in person. The cool thing is that next time you guys see each other at the show, it's like you pick up where you just left off.
And it's cool because, like, man, you can have a conversation with somebody, and because they follow you and because they follow your progress, even though you don't talk to them or text them, like, you can go to the show and then meet them for the first time, and then you can talk about a build that you're doing, and then they could follow up and know exactly what you're talking about because they've been following what you post. And be like, yo, or they'll bring it up and say, oh, so how's the truck, the F-100 that you started? Like, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, snap. Like, yeah, man, I did this to it. I didn't finish it. Like, you know, all that stuff, you know, brings up, you know, sparks up cool conversations, you know? And mind you, this is somebody that don't know where you live, you know, or whatever, but just the connection on being... following each other's work, it's kind of like they're kind of looking over your bench as well, just because you're letting them into your bench by showing progress. I always think that's cool when you talk about, like, you know, like, guys would be like, hey, man, I saw your YouTube video, man, when are you gonna finish that truck? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, something that I posted like 3 years ago. And I was like, this is the reason, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's cool to be like bugged out because the guy could be like 4 states away from you and you probably just met him that day and you're having a conversation about what you build in your table and your bench.
Yeah.
I found that really cool.
That's tight. There's a someone I met, like, I want to say maybe a couple years now. He's on Instagram, and it's just funny because, like, I mean, he builds lowrider cars, and I believe he lives in the state of Indiana. I could be wrong, but I think that's what comes to my head right now. But me and him, we follow each other. We'll comment, chop it up and stuff, like, on there once in a while. And I remember one day he posted a photo. He was on vacation, chilling with his fam, and he tagged his location where he was at, and it was in Mexico. And I was like, yo, you're out there? He's like, yeah. And I was like, dude, that's like my family's hometown,
right?
And I was like, you, like, just visiting or stopping by or what? Because I've been around that area. You know, back in, like, well, I was there, like, I think I told him like a year ago, but I tend to go over there pretty often. And he's like, yeah, this is where I was born and raised. I'm like, what?
Nice.
No way, dude. So then we started toughing it up. And then I'm like, hey, do you ever come out to California? You don't have family out here? And he's like, nah, I don't. You think you'll ever come out here? And he's like, I don't think so. And I told him, dude, well, maybe if we ever meet up, it's going to be over there. Watch. Like, sometime at the end of the year or whatever. And because I believe he goes there pretty often at the end of the year to visit his family, because they're still, like, his parents and stuff. So, and we were just laughing about that. Like, you know, we still haven't met up. Like, when he went last year, I couldn't go. And I was hoping to go this year, but I can't go either. But I keep telling him, watch, one day, dude, I already know. And when it aligns, I'm going to bring my cars and you bring your cars too.
Exactly.
And we're gonna take photos of our cars out there in the streets of Mex with the backdrop and everything.
Yeah, that's funny. That's bugged out, man. I mean, it's bugged out because it kind of reminds me when I went to Cali and I went to the Low Ballers meet, and And I'm like, I was like so amped up to put my models in some of those dioramas and take pictures, like some of Lucas's work and Mafioso, that parking deck was crazy. And you see it online, you're like, oh, that's sick, like, you know. And then for me to be over there and put my models and take pictures and video and everything, that was surreal for me. It's bugged out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's like you say, you kind of like, oh, I'm gonna bring my stuff, and it all worked out where I was able to, you know, accomplish that, and that was awesome.
Yeah, that parking garage is nuts.
It is, man.
That thing's crazy. I remember when they started to, in the beginning, like showing like some sneak peeks of that garage. I was like, kind of confused. Like, is that the real thing or where are they at? Mm-hmm. You know? And then, little by little, I thought it was quite like somewhat of a game changer for me when I started to see, Lucas, busting out with one of the cars, like, you know, just driving wirelessly.
Yeah.
I was like, wait.
His RC car.
Yeah. I was like, what the heck is that? That's a real car or whatever.
That was mind blowing, man.
He had me confused.
I was just like, yo, my jaw dropped too when I saw him post that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa. Like, you know, now you're bringing our modeling to life. Like, literally, you know, I mean, driving inside that diorama. That's nuts. Yeah. Like, you know, that'll always stay in my head. Like, yo, I remember when you did this. it's bugged out because the dude is so, like, even Lucas, he's so talented that you're you're gonna always remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could compare another person that has done stuff like that, and of course is Jeffries,
mm-hmm.
People like don't ever forget the things he's accomplished, even early, before this technology. Like, he was he's always been ahead of the game, and people never forget the RC stuff that he done in the 90s. I mean, you know, it's crazy. And I feel like Lucas is another one, and Mafioso, that they doing stuff that I'm never gonna forget because I saw it first coming out from them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Jeffries is another one that you'll never forget the videos and all that stuff that he did all the way back then.
Yeah, like I remember like watching on his YouTube channel. It's crazy because if you go to his YouTube channel and you start to Jeffries and you start digging to like, you go back to like the first videos he was posting up.
Okay.
And then there was one, I recently watched one. It's a 64 Impala in yellow. It's called Real Deal.
Okay.
And it's wireless, you know, working suspension and everything. And it's like, you know, I'm thinking back, like going like, man, he did that one like a long time ago and stuff. And like going back to how we were saying about Lucas, like you'll always remember that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like people even back then had that moment when they seen that car come out, you know, and other projects he's done. And it's crazy because I feel like everybody, you know, is wants to push it to that next level, you know?
Right. Right.
And
I mean,
it's tough
they,
too.
They definitely inspired somebody, everybody, inspires everybody to try stuff. I don't want to start naming the wrong names, but there's guys out there on Instagram that are bugging me out of stuff that even certain things that are lighting up inside the car and how they light up. I mean, even at Twitter, there was a model that this guy, let's say it was an RX-7, something that had the flip up lights. And I remember, he rubbed a magnet over it, and then the pop up lights popped up by itself, and then it lit up. Like, it was bugging, like, I was bugging, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, you know, just the technology, how, you know, it's making these cars do stuff that we never dreamed, that we've dreamed of, but, you know, it's here, like, you know, and it's like, it's bugged out because, you know, it makes you think, like, dude, anything's possible, you know what I'm saying? Like, you never know. I mean, like, even, like, think about, let's say, you know, like, there's drones out there now, right? I mean, why can't there be, like, a model that could be like a drone later on in the future on the table, like hovering, you know, instead of being laying on the table? I mean, dude, I'm sure we're not too far from that, you know?
Yeah.
No, that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
So, it's bugged out, you know?
No, it's true. I remember, like, a while back when I was all into like scratching, like with turntablism. And when you're having a session with a friend and you're scratching and then he's scratching, and they call it Q&A. So you're scratching a certain sound and you're asking him a question, then he's answering it back and you're going back and forth. But at the at that time we were only rocking like a record, right? And the record would end. You would always have to like stop the momentum because you had to restart the record.
Restart the record.
Yeah. Right. Put the needle back on the top. As time went on, you know how like the scene with the apps blew up or whatever. So they made an app that comes with like endless loops of music.
Loops. Okay.
So right. now you plug in your phone, you hit that loop, play, and then it's like forever, you know? And now you can practice and practice and you keep getting good, you and your buddy or you by yourself. So I started to kind of think about that. Like, all right, like that was like a big game changer for the turntable scratch scene. And I started thinking like, you know what? I know like the direction with, you know, with electronics is it's already like in there. Like you got the, like, you know, Jeffrey's a pioneer, obviously like going crazy with it. Tony Johnson going crazy with it, Lucas, you know, going in on it. And then you got other people that you've seen, you know, that you're telling me about. And it's going to get to the point, dude, where I feel like it's all going to take somebody to create the app where it's like someone's going to do a wireless hopper or a wireless, you know, the doors open, the trunks open or whatever. Absolutely. And it's all being controlled from your phone and app.
Yeah. Dude, you're right. You're absolutely right. I would not be shocked, you know. I think the company 8181, the Japanese, there was doing something where there was an app that at least was turning on specific parts of the car as far as like the dome light inside, the headlights, like there was a button that you press on the app that made it the hazard lights turn on, blink. And whether it was just doing, you know, that's big on its own, you know. Why not it? I mean, with Bluetooth and all this stuff, technology, it's gonna take somebody to go ahead and be like, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make it do this. And I won't be surprised if it's Jeffries or one of these other guys, you know? But somebody's going to come with, you're right. Somebody's going to come with it and just going to blow everybody's mind.
Yeah. And then we're all going to buy that app for $1.99.
I know, right? Man, that's cool, man. I'll tell you, it's like you were talking, like, you're in your last episode, your solo that you were talking about, you could see a lot of game changers and things evolving just next year, you know?
Yeah,
and
dude.
I agree. There's a lot of things, 3D printing parts that people are trying, a lot of different things. And I also agree too, that I wouldn't be surprised if we see some stuff this year or in the next coming years, that's gonna really catapult this hobby, you know, to the sky, you know.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people are gonna start to invest in the 3D printers, even more.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking into it. May not be this year, but just like, let's say, Iceman, Joel, I asked him, hey, man, I know you're probably busy, but I need these centerfaces done on these wheels. If you can, give it a try. Let me know how much it is. And I couldn't probably ask a couple of other guys, but he said, no, don't worry, I'll give it a shot, And, dude, he already sent me, like 2 weeks later, the CAD drawing. And, dude, it was like he nailed it, like exactly the face of a wheel of a car that I want to replicate. And I was like, yo, that's sick. Like, that's awesome. Like he did that quick and he was busy,
Yeah.
So, I started talking to him. He'd be like, look, man, I said, look, I want to get into that, man, but I really don't know where to start. He was like, well, look, I'm still learning, but, if you're serious, just call me and we'll talk about it. And I'll put you on whatever I know and stuff like that. And there was another guy also in a YouTuber that I know through YouTube and at an Acme show that he's also printing stuff. And he gave me some samples. He's like, George, look, man, I just printed these brakes. Check them out here. Take them, man. I mean, they're a little rough, but I'm still learning. And then we just started talking about like different things, like dude, man, if you see, you go be on IG or on Facebook and then there'd be a commercial or something or ad, that there's laser printers, laser engravers, we can engrave some kind of pattern in a seat. You know what I'm saying? In a plastic, why can't we do that? That there's a pattern. You could engrave some kind of pattern in the roof of a car that could be just engraved, and that could be a new look. There's a lot of stuff out there, man, that I tell you, we can change the game,
Yeah.
With what the technology's out there,
No, yeah, definitely.
It's exciting to know about that,
It is.
That's going on, and we're just like, we're seeing it come to life,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, you're right now, it's like you've taken a seat and you're watching this process from people, like what they're busting out with and how it's evolving and what they're offering and what's out there. And there's people that haven't been in tune with the model scene for a while, for some years, but then now they come across it and they're blown away when they hear that this was 3D printed. They're like, what? They're tripping out, especially like, I was tripping out on one of the engines that Iceman is offering right now. And I was just like, dang, dude, that thing has like a lot of detail. And even for myself, like when I would open up a kit and work on a kit, I'm not really thinking about engine as far as like, swapping one out. I'm just like, I'll use the one that came with the kit or whatever.
Right.
But now it's like, I see everybody getting excited swapping engines, talking about LS mortars and all this stuff.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then you see a 101 skill car with that kind of mortar in it.
Right.
And you go, whoa, like, dude, like, and there's parts that are painted that match the car.
Yes.
And then, and then next thing you know, you're driving on the freeway and you see like an old Chevy bomb cruising and then it starts hauling ass. And someone's like, dude, that thing must have like a serious like LS mortar. Something's in there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where the all of a sudden, everything it goes, oh, I see now. All right.
I see why everybody's so pumped to see these LSs being offered and stuff like that. And yeah, it's big, man. He's offering the Hellcat motor, which is, it's like what the LS is to the Dodge. Chevy to the Dodge motor, the Hellcat motor, and I was excited to see that because at one time, maybe just 2-3 years ago, there was a guy that was, he made it out of like two different motors, and maybe he just printed, got somebody to print the cap of it, of the motor, and, you know, made it look like a Hellcat. And I said, man, why is nobody else printing this stuff yet? Like, come on, man. Like I was so amped up to get it. And now look, Iceman is offering it now, and JPS, and that's awesome, you know, because now that just also inspires you to build something like that, that you've seen a video of, like, let's say in SEMA or something, of a build that of a, like you say, a bomb with that kind of motor in it, and then it's weather, and that's true. I want to build the model of that, you know, or mm-hmm. something that inspired, and now it's available, you know? So yeah. It's, to me, I feel that it excites me that I think that we're going to be fine as far as the hobby not going away. There's some guys that still think that, you know, it's not going to last. But to be honest with you, and I just saw this probably like a sportscaster talk about, you know, that even the games are faster, baseball, the technology, everything's faster. And if you're not embracing the technology, embracing all this stuff, the tech that's going on now, you're going to be left behind, you know?
It's so true.
Like, yeah. You know, that goes with everything. If you don't embrace this apps and all this stuff, you're honestly going to be behind. You're not going to be, I mean, and I said that you're not going to be, but it's more than likely you're not even going to be as successful as somebody who embraces all this technology and use it to good use.
Yeah. This also goes back to, like, when I was DJing in the beginning, it was like, all right, I'm going to the store, I'm buying vinyl, I'm playing vinyl, I'm buying doubles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then, like, around 2004 or 5, this company from New Zealand emerges called Serato, and they start to introduce their technology where now they're like, look, if you have a laptop and you have iTunes and you have your MP3 files, you could connect your laptop to this little box, and this little box connects to your setup, and you use these two coded records, and you'll have the same feel as your vinyl record, but now you can play any song you want that you have in your library.
That's nuts. And you,
dude, and when it happened,
I know that must have, like, blew everybody's mind. Like, you, dude, know what?
Yeah. People stopped buying vinyl. People, like, yeah, were selling their collections. Like, now, like these collectors, these DJs' wives were happy. They're like, yes, now we can get rid of, like, 10,000 records. Now you could have the room.
Or even the DJ himself. I don't have to carry all this crap.
Yeah, I don't have to carry 10 crates to the set now. And now you could have it all. So that was, like, a big game changer, right? But then here's what happened. There was guys who weren't embracing it. They were like, man, that ain't hip hop or whatever, you know, just like hating on it. And then as soon as they saw, like, one of their heroes, one of their, like, hip hop turntablist purists, like, rocking it, they were like, oh, man, I got to be put up on game now.
Yeah.
And then little by little, everything changed. I mean, I jumped on board because I was like, dude, like, now I could just put my laptop in my backpack and go to a gig, plug and play. Uh-huh. Use the setup they got there, bounce. All right, cool. And I remember one time my homie was like, yo, we're going to play a gig, but it's vinyl only, though. No Serato, no laptop. I was like, all right, that's
real
cool.
Real throwback.
Yeah,
throwback, throwback, baby. Yeah. We're going to do this.
Yeah, we're keeping it real, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then I was like pulling out my records, putting them in a crate. Yeah. And I remember, like, I had to park far. And I was walking on my crate. By the time I got there, I was all, like, my arms were all tired. I was like, man, I need to exercise more or something.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you know? And then even when you're up there, I was like, man, this feels weird. Like, it's just different. It's different. Because everything evolved. Like, you know.
Yeah, man. And honestly, man, you know, I'm all good that I agree that you have to learn you have to know how to survive without this stuff, but I know that while it's here, you gotta learn it, and you gotta learn how to use it too. I mean, like I was talking to a buddy of mine, I gotta mention his name, but he was talking about like even like cameras today, like I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about getting this camera. And then he goes, yeah, man. And I said, yeah, man. And I want to kind of stay kind of updated because, I wanted to the camera still be relevant. And he goes, yeah, man. I mean, you know, I remember having I had to do a photo shoot. And then like these young guys, young photographers, they have like all these new cameras, right? And they see me wear like an old school Canon or something. And then they'll be like, oh, yo, let me see what you're, oh yeah, that Canon. Yo, that was a dope camera like 15 years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and yeah. It's like, I'm not laughing at him, but we chuckled about that. I was like, wow, yeah. That's true. And then we were exactly talking about tech today. Like you gotta get up with the times or you're gonna be left behind, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's funny and it's true, man. Like, I could imagine after you upgrade it, carrying those crates, you're like, oh, hell no, man, I ain't doing this again.
Yeah. You know? I was like, you know what? I'll still buy a record once in a while, but it's only for the house. Like, I'll put the record on and I'll sit down and chill. But these records ain't going nowhere, you know?
Yeah, I hear you, man. Dude, I remember, man, and just the little history about me. Like, I used to work at a club, and I used to be a barback, right? So a barback, you know, gets whatever the bar needs, if they need ice during the night or whatever. Sweep the club, whatever, during the night. Get whatever the bartenders need. So I had that gig. I was young, like probably like 19, 18, 17 or something like that. And I remember that that during that change, like there was a guy who came with his laptop, and the laptop was big, but still, I mean, you know, it's not like what it is now, but like he would come with his laptop and he's not carrying crates. And then the other two DJs from the other floors are carrying their crates. And it's funny because you're saying that, you just gave me a flashback that I remember the guy from the third floor, like he would come with his laptop and he'd do his set and he's not carrying no crates or nothing. So he just, I can remember at the end of the club, I'm over here like counting my tips. I finished cleaning the club with the crew. And then I seen the guy, the two other DJs, because it was a three-floor club. Mm-hmm. The other two DJs, like, they're like, gotta move their car to the front of a club, carry all their crates, all this stuff. And then the dude in the third floor just walks out, like, all right, good night, guys. And like, he just has his laptop, and these guys are still loading their cars. It's like, oh my God, that's crazy, man.
That's nuts. And
sure enough, man, those guys had to do the same. Oh, probably one of the guys was just too old school. That he ended up didn't do that. And I'm sure that, dude, eventually he had to quit, you know?
Because
the technology, man, I'm telling you, is burnt out. But you just gave me a flashback, bro.
And it's crazy because, I mean, people are still rocking the laptops. But as far as transporting your music, it's already evolved where you don't even need your laptop. You're just using a thumb drive now.
That's like crazy.
Music's in the thumb drive, and then you got these dudes that are traveling, flying, and they just got a thumb drive in their pocket. Wow. They pop it in, and then they start playing. Now, I have a friend who works for a company, I think they're called like DJ City, and I was having a convo with him, and he blew my mind. He told me what's like the new thing now, like even more that their company's coming out with. And I'm like, all right, tell me, what is it? And then he's like, pretty much, let's say you sign up. Like, you know how everything now is a subscription, pretty much?
Right.
So he said, you sign up with us, and let's just say that you get hit up because you need a DJ, like, let's just say a quinceañera or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they want, like, cumbia music or whatever, certain kind of music, and that's not even what you do, because you don't even know the artist, you don't know none of that.
Right.
So you go to our site, and you basically, you just put that, you want like the top, whatever, 20, 40 tracks, the hottest tracks right now currently, that every like dude that's like a heavy hitter is using right now. And then they'll let you borrow those tracks. So if you have a laptop, it's like they're downloaded and you play them. And then if you don't want them, you could erase them. So this way now you save on storage too.
Yeah. And probably all you have to do is probably pay some kind of subscription or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He said it's like, it's, you know, it's like 10 a month. It's like anything. Everyone's going to do it up for sure. And I was like, way worth it. I was like, damn. And I was like, well, what if your laptop crashes, whatever, you know? He's like, well, if you have a laptop, I could be like, hey, editor, let me borrow your laptop. Let me sign in. Let me play this quick set, and then I'm out. All right, dude, see you next time. Late, peace. And it's like, what? Like, I don't know.
That's crazy,
and,
right?
Wow. And I mean, that's just like that world, but it's like everything's like evolving, and I feel like with the model stuff, you know, it's evolving too. People are, you know, I mean, if you think about it, it starts from the scratch building, right? People didn't have the aftermarket products. What do? They scratch build it. Eventually, others are like, yo, can you make that for me? Yeah, sure. So they start casting resin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then now I feel like this is like that next stepping stone is the 3D printing.
Right.
That's almost like the evolution from the casting to that, but still, like, it's not obsolete. So they both work hand in hand together.
Right. They do. They work hand in hand together, but it gets to the point where, you know, now even the 3D printing materials that you use to make the parts are different materials, different stuff that eventually, you know, be like, why am I messing with resin? You know, I can get this kind of material, make this part or this motor out of this specific, let's just say ABS plastic that works perfect, way better than, you know, it's easier to paint or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
Why am I using resin, you know? Yeah. And then resin, at the end of the day, guys, man, it's not healthy, you know, working with that stuff. I wear a mask when I'm sanding that stuff and everything, you know? So you got to think about it that way as well, you know? You know, they work hand in hand, but eventually it's there's always going to be a market, because it's going to be guys who's always going to support that, the resin stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah. I just was like thinking of something as you were saying, talking about resin. And I started to think like, all right, what is it that will phase out molding, like resin and all that, right? And I started to think, well, I think what it would is if obviously using a different material, that's not as dangerous as resin, but let's say if it's the 3D printer, right? If it could print you a body, but like fast though, not waiting 8, 10, 12 hours or a day. I mean, like something quick, right? And then I started to think, damn, how crazy would it be if there was like some type of molding or like a casting machine where, let's just say, you have all the specs of what you want to do. You render it, and then you put it into the machine program, whatever. And then at the top, it's almost like you get a brand new model kit, and you get the body, and you just like toss it in there, and it goes into the hole, and then it heats up the plastic where it melts, and it uses that plastic to create you now a new mold, like something completely different, something completely different.
Exactly, and you're using the styrene that you want to use.
Yeah, like let's say you have a 64 Impala, and you're like, oh man, I feel bad for you, because I already have so many 64s. I want to build something rare, let's say like a 64 wagon. So you throw the body in there, and then you throw in some extra pieces of styrene, and it melts it. But as it's all in liquid base, like it's all melted, it at the end when it pops off the mold, it's you got your wagon.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
it might sound kind of crazy, but it's like
no, but it can honestly happen. Doesn't sound crazy. It makes a ton of sense, and you know that I'm sure they're probably doing that already. You know, there's always gonna be a way. People gonna come up with ways for things to be more convenient, more efficient, stuff like that. Like today, one of my guys goes to me, "Oh, yo, did you buy one of those LS motors from so and so?" I was like, "Oh, no, not yet, but eventually I'll get one." And then he goes, "Man, cause he had posted it, and then when I went to ask him, he said it was he sold out." And then like 2 days later, he has them again for sale. And I was like, "Yo, what the hell?" I was like, "Yo, don't take it personal, bro. This stuff is 3D printed. He probably printed, you know, in those 2 days, he probably printed 10 more motors, and now they're available, like, you know, that quick. You know what I'm saying?" Mm-hmm. You know, so I was like, "Yo, man, I'm telling you right now, you know, this thing is... it's quick, like, you know what I'm saying? It's getting faster. You're getting stuff right away, you know? So imagine, like, you had to wait for a caster to recast, make a new mold, you know, and they got to make that motor, I mean, that part or motor in resin. Oh, we got to make a new casting. We got to... get new material. By the time you do all that, it's gonna be a while, you know.
Mm-hmm, true.
And that also, you know, if everything work out as planned, you know, but you know, I mean, not to say that the 3D printers won't mess up, because I'm pretty sure they're gonna have glitches here and there. But when it does work, you know, you're gonna be able to have the stuff way faster than you would have if you had to do it in resin, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's like, I almost feel like with casting with resin in the beginning, when you're getting into it, like, let's say if I was getting into it, I'm pretty sure my errors are going to be, it's going to have holes, pinholes and all this stuff. Because of the settings, you're trying to figure out your settings of it until finally, like, years go by. And you finally, like, you hone your skills and you figure it out. And with 3D printing, I feel like errors can happen whether if there's, like, some kind of computer glitch, how you said, or if you maybe enter the wrong measurement coordinates or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might...
Or some kind of malfunction, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe the wrong material.
Right, uh-huh.
That was used, but I feel like there's probably less, or I could be wrong, but maybe I feel like there's less chance of error compared.
Yeah. I was watching a video today, right, on YouTube about a SEMA build, right, and the dude was explaining how he did. It was a Ferrari, and it was slammed. It was like stanced out, and he had a one-off a body kit, right. So he said that they molded, they made the body. They made the kit for the one side of the car, right? And then they perfected it to that side of the car. And then they scanned it and then printed it on the other side to be symmetrical. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now you're not doing all that work building. You know, you're not building both sides to then make a mold. No, dude, like, he you know, did the one side, then whatever 3D or scanner scanned the whole side of the car and then made the opposite side to the specs, to the exact specs of the other side, but in the opposite. That's crazy. That's awesome. Why can't we do it to a model? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Build over fenders on one side, and then a 3D scanner is gonna scan it and then make that same part but symmetrical the opposite side. Dude, it's already here, this technology, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I that you know, that's what I mean. Everything is about quick, you know, and you got to catch up because, you know, things are gonna pop off. Things are gonna be way ahead that we're gonna be bugging out about that, you know?
Yeah, let's think forward. Let's think. All right, let's say 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. All right. And 20 years from now, let's say the model game's already, it reached like things that we dreamed of, right?
Right. Okay.
Let's say Hopper, like the cars are not just lowriders. Let's just generalize like all cars. They're running wirelessly that we can control them. They can play mm-hmm. music. The lights yeah. turn on.
Uh-huh.
And let's just say for every genre, right? They're all functioning now. So what are people going to do now? Right? Like what's next? Next thing you know, you got people racing. That's like, you got people, yeah. you know, the hopping thing, people burning yeah. out, music bumping.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy. It'll just be like,
I mean, you see that right now in the RC world, man. Like, yo, like these builds are not just like a plastic body that looks like a, you know, like a mold. No, these cars are mad detailed and they have music, they have lights, they have all these functions. So, dude, it's already here, man. That's crazy, you know? Some of these cars, they're even hard to tell that they're actually RCs. You know, that's how good, how fast the technology, everything that's available now is just making everything look real, man. You know?
Yeah. No, it is.
We got to embrace it, man. Like as what we've been saying, we got to embrace this stuff, man. And then, put it to good use, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. So what are your, like your goals and plans for 2020?
Well, my goals are, what I want to do actually before 2020, probably in the next, you know, next 2 weeks, it's, you know, family time and holidays and whatnot. But in between that, I'm not going to pick up another kit to build. I'm going to take this break to, you know, just focus on family. But at the same time, in between that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to revamp my work area, my bench. Like right now in the corner of my bench, I have a computer screen that, dude, I'm not even using. I have two a computer tower on the right to me. That stuff I'm not using. So, like, I'm looking at my paint rack. There's paints that I'm not using. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, I want to revamp my whole place, even the stuff that I got hanging up here. It's been hung up for years. So now I can, like, what I want to do is make my space, you know, more accessible, more room, change all the stuff that I'm looking at, put it away, put new stuff up, use us, you know, just have the stuff that I'm using and everything else that I'm not, you know, box it up, whether get rid of it or whatever. You know, in other words, before the year, I want to go ahead and revamp my whole area where I could be more efficient for 2020, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can build with a little bit more space and I can be more efficient. That's number one. For next year, my goals, I want to be a little bit more smart about you know, how I go about what builds to do, because I have a ton of projects that I want to do, but I want to be smart about you know, what I pick and kind of schedule myself, you know, so I can do other things and not just. I put so much effort into modeling last year that I think I missed out on just everyday life stuff. You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
this year I want to probably focus on, if I'm going to do, I'm going to focus on, let's say, a couple of specific builds and meet my goals to build them and not get too, and I get too wrapped up on, oh, for this show, I got to build this. Oh, that's the theme for that. I got to build. No, I don't want to put that much pressure on myself for my goals for this year. I want to just kind of have fun and not I had fun last year, but I want to kind of be more smart about, you know, what am I going to build and to probably, you know, be more efficient, you know? I think I'll probably have, I might have less builds done, but there'll be more quality and you know, and not put too much pressure on myself. That way it's less stressful, you know? As far as that goes, I have a few shows to go away. Definitely going to go to NNL West. So I see you guys there. That's coming. That's around the corner.
Around the corner for sure.
literally around the corner. And then there's a show in Ohio in March, in the beginning of March, that I was thinking about going. It's called Buckeye, a classic or whatnot. I'm thinking about doing that one, but I got to see how things are. And then I plan to go back to Atlanta. I see myself always coming back, man. And this year was crazy.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Best of show.
Edgar, I swear, I still don't know how that happened. You know, it was crazy. It was a crazy day. By the way, I saw Dennis Matthews over there. You know, we both friends with him. Great guy as always. Always good to see him there. Dude, like it was crazy. I took like 4 models. I didn't go crazy this year. Mm-hmm. And but what I did do was, you know, some of you guys know that I built a Herbie, right? Volkswagen, and you know, Herbie. It was a Disney movie, which was a Volkswagen bug that comes to life. It's a cool little a movie, and they made a couple of them. Well, anyway, I always thought that was always a cool little bug. Yep. And then I saw the decals were available, and they were legit decals. They were for hobby design. So I was like, dude, why? I was like, why is nobody building this now that these decals are legit, you know, that I can, you know? So I said, man, the theme in my show for the diorama was Euro. I was like, you know what? I'm going to build Herbie, you know, but I'm going to do my own twist to it. You know, I'm going to stance it out. I'm going to do a couple of details, and I'm not going to build it like you would see it in the movie. I'm going to build it my own. So I did my own touches to it. And dude, I have fun with it. I kind of like took my time, and I didn't pressure myself. I just say, you know what? I'm gonna just build it, and I focus on that. And I didn't do nothing. But like the goal was to, I have it in the show, and I had it in the show where it wasn't completely done, but it was good enough to put out on the diorama. But then like a month and a half later was Acme. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about nothing else but getting this Beetle finished complete. So I can, that could be my main build for Acme. But didn't think nothing of it, you know? I just said, you know, let me bring it. And dude, right before Acme, I took it to one show in Massachusetts. And it was, you know, it has so much attention. And I was like, wow, that's cool. You know, it felt good. But, you know, I'm going to Acme now. And I'm thinking, man, the stuff that's on the table, mind-blowing. I'm not thinking nothing of it, you know? So, but when I put it on the table and I set it up and everything, and, dude, it was just like, it was always a crowd around the car. Like, it was bugged out. I was, like, bugging. You know? I was like, oh, shit. So I was like, you know, not thinking much of it, but maybe it'll get top 10 this year, you know? You know, I got it last year for the Skyline, but I wasn't expecting it then. So, you know, we just did the show, had a great time, like hung out with a lot of YouTubers that I've known along the years. The club, you know, they do a great job, the club that hosts the show. And the night before the show, you know, the host hotel, there was always a hangout. And it's always a good time. Well, anyway, at the show, so, you know, the Vito was asked to go take photos, so I did that. You know, the day was going. So then now they started towards the end of the show. They did the award ceremony. So they do a top 10, and then they do, like, two specialty awards, like the theme award and something else. And then they do best of People's Choice, best of show. So, you know, they call in the names up, and some of them are the YouTubers I know, at least five YouTubers that I know. That was cool. To you know, I was happy for those guys. But to me, it didn't even dawn on me, like, that I'm going to win something. It was like they called, like, the seventh guy for the top 10. And then I said, okay. So then they called the last one, and it was the top 10. And I didn't make it. So I was like, all right, cool, no problem. But it ain't think none of it. So then they called the theme awards and whatnot. So then now the guy talks, the MC of the club starts talking, and he's like, so now we're gonna call out the best in show, People's Choice. So basically, this model got the most votes of everybody. Damn. You know, so people vote on that show. It's like they pick in their ballot. It says pick the two theme awards, the two your favorite two award builds that are for the theme, and then they have you pick eight of your favorite in the whole show. So it's not by a category. It's just pick your eight favorite. So I'm assuming that the Beetle got the most votes out of any car. Like, you know? so like, you know, they call the specialty awards. So then the guy gets up there. He talks about, I was like, I've been doing this show for 20 some years, and I've been waiting for somebody to build this model and see a nice model of this car. And then he starts talking about the winner for Best in Show is George Ramos with his Herbie. I'm like, what? My jaw dropped, and I looked at my buddies next to me, and they're like all pumped up and everything. And I'm like, I was shocked, dude. I was like, are you kidding me? You serious? Like, I looked around and I went up there, and it was surreal, man. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. And yeah, man, they gave me a nice award, and then they took pictures, and dude, that's the last thing I thought, man. But yeah, man, it was very rewarding. And
congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, bro. And like, that's crazy, man. But yeah, man. I couldn't believe it, but to me, it wasn't the best model on the table, but it definitely, I'm not surprised it was a popular one, because I did see always people around it and people coming up to me, oh, I love that little Herbie. So it was cool, you know? It was cool.
Yeah, that's tight.
But definitely wasn't expecting, but definitely I'm very honored. And that club is awesome. They, like this week, I got something in the mail from the club. It says Acme Club, and I'm like, what's this? A box. So I opened it up, and what they did was, when they asked me that they take a picture with the award behind it, they put it into like a little like a certificate kind of thing that I can hang up, like with the picture of my model. I said Best of People's Choice, Best of Show. So it's cool. Like, even though they give you an award, you know, since they have all your information, they go ahead and do this extra stuff, and that's cool, man. So I had it there ready to hang it up when I revamp my bench.
Yeah. Imagine you get your wife mad, you swap out the family pic, and you put that one in the living room. Like, what?
Man, please. If I do that, that's crazy, man, because basically she's like, you know what, you can do whatever you want in your hobby room, you know. Yeah. What I'm saying, do not touch anything in my living room. So yeah, man, that'll be a good prank on her, you know.
Yeah. Are you planning on bringing the car over here? You better bring it.
I'm gonna bring it
in California now.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was cool, because even on Facebook, when I posted it, or people posted and tagged me, a few guys from the West Coast asked me if you're gonna bring it when you come, right? And I said, yeah, dude, I'll bring it. And to be honest with you, I mean, I'm sure that people can, and just like any model, there's no matter if everybody likes my models, there's always gonna be flaws no matter what. Like, I don't think there's no such thing as a perfect model, but because there's always gonna be people that could pick, you know, take it apart, you know, pick it apart. But and by all means, it's not perfect, but it's good enough, you know, that I feel like that people do like it, you know.
No, I had a lot of fun. I think like so. They'll like it.
Everything in that build went like smooth. You know what I'm saying? Like it. Mm-hmm. Like I did have a mishap and I fixed it. But I remember, and I don't remember who, man. But I remember, I tell you, I love listening to your podcast because I be listening to these builders and they explain. And I don't remember who it was. I feel bad that I don't remember. But one of the builders that you had interviewed said, you know, never be afraid to like make mistakes. As long as you know how to fix your mistakes, you can do anything. And yo, that stuck with me. Like, you know, so now I'm like I don't get too bent out of shape if something breaks or something like that. Like, dude, I can fix it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you know, sometimes something breaks and you're like, oh, forget this. I put it in the box and put it away. Like, yeah. You know, some people are like that.
Yep.
But you know, I remember somebody saying that, you know, that don't get mad if something breaks, you know, or if you do a pattern wrong, just fix it. As long as you know how to fix it, you can fix anything in a model, you know? And I never forget that, and it stuck with me. So now if something happens, like in the Beetle, the pillar, like, not the pillar, the cowl area where the wipers go,
mm-hmm.
That cracked on me, dude. It cracked on me, like, right before clear. And I'm like, damn, man, like, oh, snap. So I was like, you know what, man? I was like, you know what? I have time. I can fix it. So I fixed it, and you know, with the, you know, everything that I did to it and putting the wiper over it, like, you can't even tell, you know? But it was just like, you know what? It didn't knock me down out of my, you know, like, my goal. It was just like, you know what? So what? Let me just fix it. And it all worked out. Look, it just, it came out to be a cool model.
Yeah, that thing's bad, dude. I can't wait to see it in person.
Yeah, man, it's fun. It was fun, and I definitely want to do something. Lately, I've been thinking of doing stuff out of the box that attract people, you know?
Yeah.
So that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I like how you said how, you know, like in this coming year, you're going to think, like, you're going to strategize and really think, like, what models to do, right? Instead of like, you know, like, cause I feel even like I'm guilty of it. Like, I'm very loose. Like, I'm really like, I'll do this one. I'll do this one. And I'm just kind of reaching out and grabbing whatever's at arm's reach in the closet. And next thing you know, I have, it almost looks like a garage with projects that are never going to get done. Right. Like,
right.
Like, I'm not being responsible to complete it. Like, I just, like, you know, mess with one. All right, I'm going to grab another one, and I keep going like that. And I feel like for you, you have a really clean style. Like, you do have a style that you do your cars, and uh-huh. and it starts with, like, you know, your taste on what you select, what you build, and stuff like that. But when you do them, I feel like you do them to a certain level where I could tell, like, oh, dude, that's one of George's builds right there. Like, dude, that stuff's so clean. And I feel like, you know, you've worked so hard that you've built up your name, right? And mm-hmm. at the same time, like, just think of the people that you follow, right? That right. are out there, other model builders. They've also built up their name. So it's going to get to a point where I feel like everybody's going to have to really, like, like how you're thinking, they're gonna have to think like that too, as to what car do I want to do, you know, like they're gonna have to think about, because it's almost like each build you make is carrying your name, like,
yeah,
like a, and like you get
to kind of top yourself,
yes,
you know,
and you get remembered by that car,
right?
And especially if you name the car or if it's a theme car, like the one you just did, the Herb, the one you got best of show, dude. Like, mm-hmm. I don't see no one else doing that car. And trust me, I feel like later someone's going to do their take on it because they're inspired. But it's like one of those things where people are going to be like, nah. But I remember George, his version with his stance,
right,
the paint job and the details, right? Like that's your style, your signature. So it's like everybody, even I can't remember his real name right now, but I know he's from Japan. LUGK Taco is on Instagram.
Yes.
Look at the stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, look at the stuff he does, right? He's doing the lowriders, but it's like as soon as he starts showing those progress pics of the interior,
yes,
and just pieces, it gets us excited. And let's say he finishes that El Camino or he'll finish a Cadillac. Next thing you know, it's like, man, like these are those builds that he's doing are the builds that are making like his name, like, you know, as an artist.
His signature.
Yeah, and his signature that you go, dang, yeah, this dude is killing it.
Yo, it's funny you bring him up, man, because we were just talking about the Herbie. He was the guy that I hit him up on Instagram, and I said, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I have done flocking on my interiors and stuff like that. But if you don't mind, man, could you share me what are your steps that you get your flocking to be, you know, the carpet to be so uniform, you know, and stuff like that. Dude was so cool, man. And we ended up, you know, just back and forth. And he taught me step by step of how he does things, and it's very meticulous. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a longer process than, you know, anybody was doing it before, where, all right, I'm gonna just paint it or put glue and then sprinkle it on, and then, you know, by tomorrow I'm changing it. No, it takes longer. Like, he's like, airbrush it at this, mm-hmm. this much, use this kind of thing, use this kind of paint, and it has to be, you know, like,
yeah,
like he gave me all these steps, and dude, I followed all those steps because, like I said, I had plenty of time to do the build. I didn't pressure myself. I started the build with enough time that I didn't rush it, and I did my flocking the way he told me, and I thanked him for it. I said, dude, man, now I know how to do it because of you. I appreciate it. And, dude, it was his signature, the way he does it, that made me, inspire me to get better. And yeah, you know his cause because of how clean he is and how he does things.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Every builder has a specific style that you kind of, like, you kind of pick them and you be like, yo, I bet you so-and-so built this, you know, or when you see, or, you know, like, oh, I'm not surprised he built it. I could tell that's kind of your style, you know, the way you stance your car or do this, that, and a third, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. You know what? I believe his name's Gavin. It came to my mind right now.
Yeah, Gavin. Right. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, he was out there at NNL West. I don't know.
He told me.
He was there. I got to chop it up with them.
Did you? Because you know what? I didn't know what he looked like or not. And I'm like, how the dude is this? Dude is from Japan and his models are here. I was like, who is this guy? You know? But then in Facebook, he used Gavin. So I was like, oh, shit. So I seen him post whatever. I you know, not Taco, his name in it, like Instagram. So then, like, you know, when we started going back and forth, he told me he used to live down here and now he resides over there and this, that, and the third. And we got to really hit it off awesome, like talking, you know, through DM. And I talked to him, but I do, man, did you go to NNL West, man? Because I seen your bills over there. Like, what's that? He said, you, dude, I was there. And then he did mention that he talked to you.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Bugging out, and he plans to come this year. So I told him that, well, we're definitely going to talk. We're going to see each other. Like, I definitely want to, you know. And, yeah, man. Yeah, dude, you're right. And his you kind of start seeing some of these guys' builds. And you kind of, some of them you can tell who it is because of their style. And it's bugged out because, like, dude, you could give, like, 10 modelers, you know, the same model and the same decals, and you tell them, yo, stencil my all of them. And honestly, bro, there's going to be probably not two of them that look exactly the same. Like, everybody has their own take on doing certain things, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, you begin to create your own style.
No, heck yeah. Because it's funny, because even, like, in school, too, they would try to show us something step by step. All right, everybody, like, you got all your materials. Now we're going to do it this way. And you always had one dude doing it a different way. And yeah. They'd be like, hey, why don't you do it? Nah, so I want to do it like this. It's like, what?
Yeah. Yo, it's funny. You said, then you gave me another flashback, bro. I remember we were in a machine shop. And this dude, the machine instructor told us, all right, you're gonna make this tool, like an opening wrench, and you're gonna do it this way. And then I'm over here following exactly how the instructor's saying it. And then I look to the right, and I said, my dude, doing it a way different way. And I asked him, yo, what you doing? That's not the way to do it. I said, bro, watch. At the end of the day, it's going to come out exactly like he wanted, but I'm going to do it my own way. And sure enough, man, his was, like, just as good, and he did it his own way. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's bugged out. You just gave me a flashback again.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, it was
everybody does things their own way. Mm-hmm.
Nah, heck yeah. That's tight. And that herb, when you were working on it, you were working, like, pretty late at night?
Yeah, because, like I said, this year, that's why this year I wanted to do things a little different. You know, kind of schedule myself and cut myself off after a certain time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, my thing last year was just, like, I got to get these done, and they got to be done, and they got to be done. Like, you know, like, by all means necessary, they got to get done because I'm going to a show in November, or I'm going to, or for a show in September. And, you know, and I took up a lot of time. That's why this year, one of my goals is to kind of, you know, schedule myself and kind of be a little bit better time, you know, doing my times, you know, being productive, but at the same time, not making my bench, a designated jail to me that I'm, you know, have to be here, you know? I definitely want to, I was working late, getting that model done, but I found myself, like, when I was working, like, when I work on this stuff late, I'm not getting no interruptions. I'm not getting no calls from my girl from her job. Oh, babe, what do you want me to cook tonight? Or the kids, you know, daddy, I'm hungry. Or, you know, or my mom asking me she needs something. Or, you know, like, calling me. Or I don't have nobody calling me late night, you know? So I felt that during the late nights, I was being more productive, and I was just here listening to my music and getting working in that model.
Yeah, just like getting into your zone pretty much at the time.
Exactly.
How, like, I was talking to Dennis earlier, and like, he was telling me, like, man, sometimes, like, when I have free time, I'm already thinking about, you know, like, before, you know, the time comes up, he's thinking about what he's going to do. But at the same time, he knows, like, he's thinking, like, man, there's, like, 100 more things I want to do.
Right.
Right? So how do you deal with that? Like, how do you stick and are responsible to sticking out to that one thing as opposed to, like, juggling a bunch of stuff?
Okay, so what I realize is by me thinking that I'm gonna do all these other builds, I wasn't getting nothing done. Like, let's say if I wanted, I said, let's say I'm going to take a number. Let's say four builds that I said, I want to do these four builds this year. And then, you know, because I got to have this one done for this show, this one done for this show. And then you're kind of like juggling, trying to get this stuff done. And I realized when I put all that pressure on myself, I was getting less done, you know, I know towards the end of the year when I said to myself, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was telling myself, oh, I'm going to build this and this to take the Agni. It got to a point where neither one got to make my bench because, you know, the main build wasn't going to be Herbie. It was going to be another truck build that I was thinking of doing. And then the other one was maybe a theme build that I was going to do. And neither one made the bench. So towards the end of the year, I said to myself, I was like, you know what? Let me stop pressuring myself. Let me just work what's in front of me. And then if don't make myself think about other builds, just what I have in front of me and just make the best of what I have in front of me. There's mm-hmm. always next year. And now I'm starting to learn that works out better for me. And look, it's had. Let's just say I probably did try to build something else for Acme. Look, I have a truck build that it's funny because even Luis, LX, Elsa Models, Luis Xavier, he even tells me, dude, we got to finish that truck, right? Uh-huh. There's a few people, and dude, I started it. I put in two videos out on YouTube. Before we went to primer and then after. And dude, and it looked like I was going to get it done. So I built so much pressure on me to build it for Acme like last year or the year before that dude, I was like not sleeping all the 2 weeks before. I was, I was in the middle of transitioning from air spray paint to airbrush. So I was trying to learn that, and I put so much pressure on myself that the model was lacking the quality.
Dang, yeah.
And it shows, you know, and even though, and then I'm like, yo, all these people, and I'm thinking all these people asking me about the model, and it's like, I'm like, you know, I'm not putting out a good product that I could put my name in it. And then put it out there and be like, oh, yeah, that came out nice. Like, I'm not going to be proud of it. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I remember even 2 days before Agni, I went and I tried my darnest to finish Edgar. And then things would just started going south on the build. And I started rushing and everything looked rushed, interior looked rushed. And I ended up going to Agni and not bringing it. And I even made a shirt that I was going to, you know, made a shirt, new shirt that I was going to bring the thing, everything, man. And sure enough, man, that model is still in a box because, like, it built up so much pressure and so much stress that it reminds me, like, not to do that again. You know, don't do that to myself because that's now, I'm hating the hobby, you know, if I do that to myself again, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually, one day, I'm going to take that truck and repaint certain things, fix things that I didn't. Two years later, I'm already a better modeler. So, you know, eventually, I'll take that model and then I'll build it little by little. Don't put no deadline on it. And eventually, I'm going to put out the product that I was supposed to put out, you know, because I didn't rush it. So, yeah, so that's what I meant about, you know, being more smart about how I pick my builds and you know, whatever, get it done. When it gets finished. I at the end of the day, bro, I want to be proud of the product I put out. And that's important to me because I want that, you know, that you're already expecting. You know, if I set the bar high for myself, that I want to at least stay in that bar, you know, and not underachieve, you know?
Yeah, it's like an artist, you know, like someone putting out music or anything, and then you get that one album you don't like, and you're like, man, he fell off.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect scenario. Like, that's a perfect analogy to put it that way. Like I don't want to bring that truck and you'd be like, man, that looks good. But then that joint's kind of falling off here. Or you could tell he rushed that. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, man, I want to be able to. I want to be able to bring that truck and be what it's going to be. And now 2 years later, I just pulled it out and looked at it. And I said, man, this is coming out good. All I have to do is this, this, and that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to work on that model little by little. Eventually, I'll finish it. And then now I see myself, like, okay, now I can change. Like, now with 3D printing, there's a couple of things that I can change on the motor. Like, I was like, you know what? Instead of using this kit supercharger, I'm going to use this 3D printed Wiffle supercharger. So, you know, I'm going to be excited to bring that one out because it's actually going to have better things in it, you know. But I'm not going to put no pressure on myself. It's just one of those long-term builds that when it gets done, it gets done, you know.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, it's like when you start forcing yourself to do something and you kind of don't, then now you're like, nah, I don't even want to do it, but you're forcing yourself. It's like, you get to the point,
force yourself.
You start to like not like it, and then next thing you know, it starts stressing you out, and it's doing the opposite of what it shouldn't do, you know.
Yeah, it starts... and let me tell you what happened to me when I went to Agni show that year. Even though I had fun, you could tell even the pictures. There was like two pictures that I took with somebody, you know, a YouTuber next to me. Bro, you could see I had like bags of under my eyes and stuff like that. Like, you could tell, like, dude, you could tell that I was stressed. Like, you could see it in my face, you know?
Yeah.
So now, dude, I cannot. I enjoy this hobby too much for it to let it stress me. So now I want to do things a little bit. Like, see, when I finished Acme, I was so pumped, dude, to build something right away, you know. And I had builds that I could finish. Like, I have the 67 that I want to finish for NNL West, and I could have grabbed that build. But I said, you know what, I need to build something that I know I'm gonna finish, whether it takes a month, and not crazy, nothing too crazy. And that's why I picked that Moon Eyes build. And I said, you know what, I'm going to build something that I know goes together well, doesn't stress me, and then I kind of get it out of my system, right? And sure enough, that's what happened. It's definitely, you don't want to put the pressure on you, man. It's really not worth it. And you know, like I said, I want to schedule myself where I'm not up all night building, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to just do stuff as I can, and whatever gets done, gets done. I'm not going to overcommit myself because I want to put out good models, whether it's only two models a year or, you know, three or four, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, it gets crazy. Like, from stress, it could lead to anxiety. It could lead to so much stuff.
A lot of stuff, man. And you know what? What do you want to do that for, you know? Why do that to yourself and your family? And honestly, man, even my health, like my goals as well is to take care of myself better than I did the last 2 years.
Remember one time we were talking, we're going like, damn, dude, I like gained weight. Like, I need to get back to doing some exercise.
I did that. And with that, the time of the kind of work that I do, that can't happen, man. I definitely see a difference when I have to work hard doing what I do. And so that's another reason why, I want to change. Those are the kind of things I want to change outside of modeling. I want to start my regimen again and get back to what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Nah, heck yeah, man. That's tight. Man, yeah, next year it's gonna be exciting. I can't wait to see what people out there create, make, and shock us with.
Yeah, man. Same here. Same here, brother.
You know, that's gonna be tight. I need to figure out what I mean, there's models that are in front of me, and I just need to pick one and finish it.
You know what, man? Let the models talk to you. Don't look at your models and look at what I suggest is which one is calling your name. Like, you know, which one is asking you, like, damn, you know what? That 67 would have been good for me to bring that in and out, but you know, this 49 Merc is really calling my name. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. You know, I think you should stick with the whatever model talks to you. That's the one that you're gonna have a better time with than something that you have to. Oh, I gotta build that because I want to finish it. It's not. The model's not talking, it's not telling you, you know, like you got to feel them out and see which one's calling you. I looked at this, it was like two or three kits that I was looking at. And I looked at them all three, and then this Skyline was the one that was talking to me. Like, yeah, this is the one that called my name, you know? So maybe you should do that. And the one that feels right is the one that you should do.
That sounds like a good idea. To do,
because you'll have more fun that way. And mm-hmm. and dude, even if you started something and you didn't finish it, like me, I started that truck a couple of years ago, and as bad as I want to finish, if I'm not in the mood to work on it, I'm not gonna work on it. But I know it's there, and mm-hmm. And eventually I'll finish it, you know. But if it's not calling me to work on it, I'm not gonna work on it. It's I'm not gonna put out a good product. I'm not gonna be happy, you know. You know what? At the end of the day, we gotta have fun with this stuff, bro.
There is someone who I follow on Instagram. I can't remember his Instagram name, but I followed him for maybe a few years now, for a long time.
Yeah.
And one thing I admire about what he does, I can tell this dude is having fun, because he buys the kits. Like, he'll show you, like, the kit that he's going to build, and he'll paint that thing maybe, like, just one color or two colors to two-tone it, and he'll just, you know, build it, glue it together, and it's done. And he'll just say, done, onto the next. And it's like, he's not going for, like, crazy full detail, or even putting, like, the like, bare metal foil trim, whatever, right?
But, look, man, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to say, there's no reason that, like, everybody builds for certain things. Everybody has different goals. There's a guy on YouTube that I know, he's a great modeler, and he's a great, like, he's one of my mentors or whatever, but he says he only builds to compete. His thing is to try to get that top award at the show, and that's his motivation to build. Like, somebody who doesn't put in the detail, doesn't put in the work, who paints a car and doesn't polish it out or whatever, and he's having fun just building them, spray painting them, finishing them in a day, and he's just building. And as long as he's having fun, who cares? Like, man, you know what? As long as you're having fun, it doesn't matter how, you know. That's the most important thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see what he's doing. And the more I see his stuff, the more I go, man, that's dope. Like, it makes me want to try that, because there is a satisfaction when you complete something, for sure.
Absolutely, Edgar. And that's what I was just saying, that I have to build. Like, as soon as I left Acme Show, I was so amped up to build something. And look, I accomplished that today with this model. I mean, I have like a couple little touch-ups to do, little stuff, but the model's complete. Like, I actually, right before you called me, I finished a YouTube video that I'm going to upload probably tomorrow or tonight, you know?
Nice.
So, like, it feels good, bro, to have a model complete. And another thing is, I don't want to keep you too long, but I put an acrylic 24-case acrylic that has a mirror on it, and it holds 24 models, right? And up to this point, Edgar, I just had all my models that I built and put them in cases, and you know, it saves them and they don't get dirty or whatnot. And all, I got all these cases randomly in all over my hobby room, right? And then I had bought this 24 case, you know, thing that you hang up on the wall. It's acrylic and you could see through it. It has a mirror behind it. Mm-hmm. So I had bought it at a hobby, at NNL East a couple of years ago. And I said to myself, oh, I got to hang it up. And it went from my old apartment to this apartment. And it was in my attic. And I said, you know what, man? And this is when I started thinking this year. I said, man, I want to revamp this, give this a new look and revamp my bench. I said, I'm going to bring this thing down from the attic. And I hung it up yesterday, the day before. And, dude, it's like I ended up putting the models that I had built or they're almost built, right? And then it ended up with, like, 6 empty spaces, right?
Dang.
And I was like, wow. Like, so I got to step back. And, you know, before I had them all scattered in my hobby room. Now they're all together. So I'm looking at my 10, 12 years work in front of me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't even feel that case. So it made me feel like
10, 12 years. Think about
that. Yeah. It made me feel like, wow. Like, all right, I'm happy with the models that I built. But, dude, I need to step up my building game. You know what I'm saying? Like, I said, dude, this is all I got to show for, you know? And I was like, well, I know I built a few people. I raffled one out and this, that, and the third. But I'm like, yo, you mean to tell me I didn't fill this case with all this time I've been doing this, you know? That was funny. So I ended up, I have a couple of bills that people gave me and stuff like that. So I filled up the case and it looks good filled. Mm-hmm. But now my goals is, you know, now I want to finish models and then fill that case up with all my models, you know?
Yeah.
But it's cool to see that they're all together. And then now when anybody comes by, they can go straight to that little wall and just look at all of them right through the glass, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they're not in shelves. They're like at eye level in front of you. And then they could look at them right through the clear thing. And it's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy when you start to think about that. 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, like, dude, I should not be having, like, triple this build. And then I look, I was like, wow, man. I was like, you know what? I got to stop buying. I got to just start building. And so my goals are now, man, just to get these builds done and quality. And that way I can, even 10 years from now, whether I have double that or half of that, whatever, I'm at least happy with them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want from now on, you know. But it's cool to have them all together, like all in within one square, you know.
Yeah, it's like you see did you put them in order, like the evolution?
I actually didn't know. Mm. I kind of they're all different colors. So like probably like the red ones, I spread them out. I put the kind of the imports together and the muscle cars together. But mm-hmm. I know I didn't do the evolution, but, you know, I know one day I got to clean that case, wipe them all those down, and I'll probably do it like that one day, you know?
Yeah. Later when you want to switch them up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be exciting. Yeah, and it's going to – I feel like those 6 spots you say you have open,
yeah,
it's going to be, like, super crucial when it comes to selecting as to, like, which ones are going to finish to go in there. That make the case.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so those are goals, you know, and if I do things smart, you know, and build, schedule myself and I might get more done, you know, on that way, believe it or not, you know, so, you know, rather than, you know, staying all day on IG and all this stuff and not getting stuff done, you know? So we'll see what happens, but it'll be fun to fill that up and hoping that I have to buy another case because I built 24 more, you know?
Yeah, not yeah. It's like if you think about it, like in 10 more years, like, you know, hopefully that's like double the amount.
Or triple.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, because
but at the end of the day, they're pretty. I'm impressed with what they came out with, how they turned out, and I can see that I'm getting better at it. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, that's tight, man. That's cool. And what's your plug your YouTube channel for the listeners?
So it's Vision 124 space George George. But I mean, I'm the only one that has that name like that. So you could just type in Vision 124, and then you'll see when my videos pop up. You can recognize my cars.
Yeah, nice. And then the same for Instagram. As well.
Instagram is just Vision 124, VISION, the word one together as 1-0-N-E, and then the number 2 and the number 4.
Nice. Yeah. That's cool, man. Well, hey, George, it was a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely, man. Always fun chopping it up. And,
yeah.
And, you know, looking forward to seeing you guys next month.
Heck yeah. Crazy, right? It's coming up. It's coming up quick.
Very quick.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is I want to, wish everybody a happy holidays to the modeling world and everybody who listens to this and you, Edgar, of course.
Oh, thank you.
And likewise. Your family. And I also want to congratulate you on 100 episodes and beyond.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'm happy to be able to listen to your podcast, and I learned a lot. I've learned, you know, got to kind of meet people or you know who they are, and just by the interviews, they've been a lot of fun. And also, happy birthday for 2 years for Scale Riders, man. I know it's coming up, right?
Yeah, thank you. The 22nd December.
Yeah,
thank you, man.
That's awesome, man. I tell you, I got to give you props, man, because you know, I don't know a lot of people who could have pulled off what you did, and I'm happy you're doing it, and that you know, you've really been busy yourself, man. Been pumping out a lot of videos on YouTube. Guys, you guys got to check out his YouTube channel as well, Scale Riders. A lot of great stuff, Edgar. He showcases his tools, his projects, just random visits to hobby shops and even the interviews now. You know, you can listen to them and even the videos that he's done, interviews with video. So you guys definitely got to check those out. And you're looking forward to what else you guys you come up with in the next year.
No, thanks, dude. And also thank you, man, for participating and being a part of the podcast as well.
Oh, yeah, man. It's always fun, man. I tell you, see, even for the first time I did it, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I look forward to doing it again.
Yeah.
You know?
No, heck yeah, man. We'll do more for sure.
Yeah, man.
Definitely. Well, this was episode 102. We wrapped up another episode for the Scale Riders podcast. And please check out George Vision 124 on Instagram and also on YouTube. I will plug the links on the description on the show notes. And everyone out there, be safe. Enjoy the time you have with your family, and if you got time to work, build, you know, model, have some fun.
Yeah, that's the most important thing, guys. Have fun.
Heck yeah. Well, it was great talking to you, man. We'll keep in touch and have a good night. I know it's pretty late over there on your end.
Yeah, definitely, man. It's late over here, but it's okay. I've been going to sleep late anyway. I got to change that for next year.
Yeah. All good.
Hey, have a good one, man. Take All right, care.
You too.
Everybody.
All right. Bye. You get it, baby.